Man. Are we on?
Yep.
Thank you. All right. This hearing is reconvened, and the time is about 6:02 p.m. Central Time on August 27th, 2013. And at this time, we'll continue with the NSP case. And I believe you have listed as your next witness, Mr. Johnson, would be Scott Brockett.
That's correct, Your Honor. We would wish to call Mr. Brockett as our next witness.
Okay, Mr. Brockett. Good evening. Mr. Brockett, were you here earlier when I instructed as to penalties for perjury?
I was.
All right, thank you. All right, Mr. Brockett, would you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth under pains and penalties of perjury?
I do.
Thank you. And I believe your witness statement is being passed out. All right, Mr. Johnson, I'll turn it over to you. And this is NSP Exhibit 28, and that was stipulated to. It is admitted into the record.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Brockett, your rebuttal testimony has been marked and received into evidence as NSP Exhibit 13. It's my understanding you do not have any corrections that need to be made to that?
That's correct.
Do you have an opening statement?
I do have an opening statement.
Please deliver that for the record.
Sure. My name is Scott Brockett. I am Director of Regulatory Administration and Compliance for Xcel Energy Services, Incorporated. In my rebuttal testimony, I explain why the Commission should continue to use the 12CP method to determine the North Dakota jurisdictional portion of costs for our production and transmission facilities. I also explain why the Commission should not adopt the 1CP method recommended by the advocacy staff consultant Carl R. Pavlovic. As part of his recommendation, Dr. Pavlovic proposes a $20 million reduction in the test year revenue requirement. As a result, use of the right jurisdictional allocator is a critical financial issue for the company. As part of an integrated system, our production and transmission facilities are used to provide service to more than one state. As a result, it is necessary to determine the North Dakota portion of the cost of these facilities as part of the process of setting our North Dakota rates. The Commission has historically applied three criteria for selecting a method for allocating cost to the North Dakota retail jurisdiction: accuracy, stability, and consistency with other jurisdictions. The weighted 12CP method we recommend meets all of the Commission's criteria and should be continued to be used in this case. Accuracy is the Commission's primary criteria. The 12CP method we have used in North Dakota for about 20 years, and again proposed in this case, most accurately captures the drivers of our fixed production cost. The 12CP method recognizes that our fixed production costs are incurred not only to ensure reliable service, but also to minimize overall system energy costs over the course of a year. Specifically, the 12CP method considers load in all 12 months, thereby recognizing that loads in all months contribute to our overall system cost. The 12CP method recognizes that the cost incurred to ensure reliable service, demand-related cost, cannot be allocated to any specific hourly load in any specific month or even to a single season because we design and operate our system to ensure reliable service at the least cost in all months. As a result, potential loads in many different summer hours, as well as hours outside the summer season, also contribute to the need for production capacity. The 12CP method gives more weight to summer peak loads, but also recognizes the significance of peak demands in other months. The 12CP method also better captures the drivers of our fixed transmission cost. The company designs the various segments of its transmission system to meet the peak demands of the specific regions served by each segment of the system. These regional peak demands are not necessarily coincident with the NSPM minus coincident peak and may occur in the winter. Moreover, MISO uses the 12CP method as a basis for its monthly transmission billings. The Commission has found that it is appropriate to recognize peak usage in all 12 months with a weighting that recognizes the added significance of higher usage months. The 12CP method, which reflects peak loads in all months with an added weighting of higher usage months, meets the Commission criteria for accuracy. The Commission has also recognized that the 1CP method was an inappropriate method to determine the drivers of the company's cost because it ignores the cost that off-peak customers impose on the company's system. The 12CP method also yields more stable results, the Commission's second criterion, than the 1CP method, because the 12CP method takes into consideration peak loads throughout the year. As a result, year-to-year changes are smaller than the changes under the 1CP method that has been recommended by the staff consultant in this case. Such variability can have a significant impact on test year revenue requirements and ultimately electric rates. The Commission's third criterion is consistency with approach used by other jurisdictions. The 12CP method is used by the other four NSP system states and MISO. While this factor may be less significant to the Commission, it nevertheless points to the 12CP method as the best approach under the Commission's criteria. Finally, as staff consultant Dr. Pavlovic's supplemental testimony recognizes, the NARUC manual focuses on which method best reflects the utility's actual system planning and operations. My rebuttal testimony explains why the 12CP best reflects, one, our planning and operation of production facilities, both to ensure very high levels of reliability during the entire year and to minimize system energy cost, and two, the effects of loads other than the system annual coincident peak demand on our transmission planning, given the need for each transmission facility to meet the peak demand on that particular facility. We submit that the 12CP method that has been in place for many years in North Dakota and elsewhere should again be approved because it best meets the three Commission criteria. It is accurate, yields stable results, and is more consistent with the methods approved by other jurisdictions. In contrast, the staff consultant has proposed the 1CP method, which the Commission has previously found to be inappropriate and has rejected. Accordingly, the 12CP method should be adopted in this case.
Your Honor, Mr. Brockett is available for cross-examination.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Norrell.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Brockett, hello. Good evening. Could you state for the Commission what a 12-month coincident peak demand allocation method is?
Yes, it's an approach or a method to allocating costs to jurisdictions or customer classes based on the respective contributions to each of the 12-month system peaks.
And what is a one-month coincidental peak demand allocation method?
A one-month coincidental peak demand allocation is a method that allocates costs to jurisdictions or customer classes based on their contributions to the system annual coincident peak.
Okay. Thank you. As you mentioned, the advocacy staff witness recommends that this commission approve a change to the one-month CP method. In your testimony, you state that the Commission shouldn't change the jurisdictional allocation methodology for two reasons. The first reason is that it deviates from widely accepted rate-making principles. If the 1CP method deviates from widely accepted rate-making principles, can you explain why it's included in the NARUC manual as a valid cost allocation method?
Could you refer to me the citation in my testimony?
Oh, I apologize. This was actually a question that was, I believe, was posed to Ms. McCartan, but she had thought that you'd be able to answer. I guess the question is just, I'll just dumb it down to this: does the NARUC manual approve 1CP?
The NARUC manual includes the 1CP method as one of the alternatives for allocating production and transmission cost.
So it would be an approved methodology, is that correct?
I hesitate to use the word approved in the context of the NARUC manual because, in my opinion, the NARUC manual provides guidance. It lists some alternatives for commissions to consider and provides some very general guidance as to when these methods might be more or less applicable. But I wouldn't go so far as to say that the NARUC manual either endorses or proposes a method.
But it proposes it as a valid method, the 1CP method.
Yes, it includes it as a potential method.
The company has applied for some other advanced determination and prudence, such as the two Red River Valley units potentially built in North Dakota. And one of the things they talk about is these units need to be built to meet peak demand, not peaks, just peak demand. Why wouldn't the company build a unit to meet more than one peak, or is it just one peak?
As I explained in my testimony, I think the level and mix of our generation fleet, as well as the power purchase for that matter, depends on a couple of factors. One is the need to provide reliable service over the course of the year, and the second is to minimize total energy cost. When you're talking about having total capacity to meet a system peak, it begs the question, well, when is that system peak going to occur? And on the NSP system, that system peak can occur in a number of different hours during the course of a year. And as I went on to explain in my testimony, even if you can bound the potential hours to some limited period, which I'm not sure you can, you also have to bring in, you know, planned maintenance, diversity exchanges, things like that, that might affect your probability of losing load during any 1 hour or any specific period. And my contention is those factors in turn affect what plants you're going to install, either for reliability or to minimize energy cost or for both.
For the summer of 2013, MISO has changed its methodologies to provide a credit for utilities that don't peak with MISO's summer peak. Isn't that similar to what North Dakota is requesting in this situation, to be recognized for not contributing to the company's summer peak?
I'm not familiar with that change that you're referring to from MISO.
Okay. You had mentioned, trying to allocate the peak for the year to a number of hours. Wouldn't you say if you can allocate that the biggest load of the year to a number of hours, and the company can meet that load, can't it meet the peak load in any of the other 12 months?
Could you repeat that question?
If you can meet the peak load of the year, wouldn't it follow that you can meet the peak load in any of the other 12 months or the other 11 months of the year?
Well, when you say, can we meet the peak load of the year, I would first point out that that's certainly a legitimate planning criterion, an important one, but it begs the question when that peak hour is going to occur, which you can't predict. It's not stochastic or random. You can bound it, but you don't know when it's going to occur, so you can't say, well, I'm going to install a level of production capacity to meet the load that I predict on July 15th at 3 p.m. You don't know when that peak load's going to occur, and that was the point I was trying to bring up, that even to the extent that's the salient planning criterion, it still begs the question of what period you're going to consider relevant in terms of actually experiencing that peak hour or hours.
Well, couldn't you look at historical data to determine on a yearly basis what that's within reason? Obviously, we can't get a precise hour, date, and minute. But within reason, can't you look at historical data and see where that historically has lied, that peak load?
You can, and I would add that that's part one of the reasons why I provided that loss of load probability study as a check on the reasonableness of the methods, because it tries to do just that. It considers not only the probability of when the peak load's going to occur, but also maintenance, enforced outages, diversity exchanges, all the other factors that affect whether you may or may not have sufficient capacity. I think it's a better way of doing that than just looking at when peak loads have occurred on a historical basis.
On page 3 of your testimony, you state that the 12CP methodology is the preferred methodology among the various jurisdictions served by the company. What evidence do you have to support that statement?
What I was referring to at that statement is that the 12CP method is used by the commissions in Minnesota and South Dakota, in North Dakota historically, for the purpose of determining the percentage of production and transmission costs that will be allocated to their respective jurisdictions.
Have any other jurisdictions expressed any concern in regards to 12CP?
Yeah, you mean Minnesota or South Dakota?
Are you aware of any besides the four that NSP is involved in, anywhere in the country? Or is this uniformly adopted?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that the 12CP method is uniformly adopted, no. I know that there are other utilities that don't use the 12CP method.
Can you describe what a combined system is? I read somewhere that NSP system operates as a combined system.
I would prefer to have a specific citation so I can better familiarize myself with the context. In my opinion, a combined system refers to a system that serves more than one jurisdiction, but the dispatch occurs on a combined basis so that it's basically operated as if it were one system.
Okay. So then is the XL Energy Company, is that treated as a single entity for production and transmission costs?
XL Energy is not.
Or, no. I'm sorry, NSPM.
NSP Minnesota, I would characterize as a combined system, yeah.
Okay.
For production in any way, not for distribution.
How does a 12CP methodology minimize energy costs?
No allocation method minimizes energy cost. What a 12CP method attempts to do is account for the fact that one of the company's goals is minimizing energy cost. And when you're determining the cost that ought to be allocated to a specific jurisdiction, that factor ought to be considered in the development of the allocation factor or the selection of the allocation factor.
Does it minimize rates at all to ratepayers?
No, in my opinion, you should not and really cannot at the end of the day choose an allocation method that minimizes cost. The whole point of an allocation method is to take a pie of costs and split it up into different slices. As I point out in my testimony, various jurisdictions acting in concert could adopt different allocation methods that leave the utility short so it doesn't recover all its cost. In that respect, I wouldn't say that was necessarily a principled approach, but that could be one way in which an allocation method could be construed as minimizing cost to customers by making the shareholders bear some of them.
On page 4 of your rebuttal testimony, Lines 6 to 13, I was just wondering if you could clarify. You state that the commission has in part approved using, that would be line 9 and 10. And then again at 13 it states the commission. Are you referring to the North Dakota Commission?
Give me one second while I refamiliarize myself.
Sure.
What page is it, Ryan?
Page 4.
I'm referring to the North Dakota Commission.
Okay. And you state that proceedings where interveners have proposed the 1CP method, the commission has consistently rejected these proposals. Do you know that the commission has consistently rejected these?
I know that from the research I've conducted that there were three prior cases. I think one was a docket in 1987, one was a docket in 1991, and one was a docket in 1992. The latter two were rate cases. I'm not sure about the 1987 case. The upshot is in each case, the commission confirmed the 12CP method as the appropriate allocator.
Were these North Dakota interveners, you know, in those matters, were that when CP was proposed?
I don't recall.
Ms. McCartan had earlier stated that there was, in 1986, 12CP was adopted. In 1991, it was adopted. In 1992, it was readopted. That would lead me to believe that some point between 86 and 92, if it was readopted, are you familiar? Was there a point where 1CP was actually adopted in the state of North Dakota between 1986 and 1992?
Well, I had a little difficulty piecing together that chronology, to tell you the truth. That case in 87 that I looked at, the final decision after appeal or whatever, didn't come out until 1992. So I guess while that was in abeyance, I assume there was some method in place. And I can't say for sure what it was. What I do know in the 1991-1992 cases, which were resolved on a more expeditious basis, that the 12CP method was approved. So I'm a little bit unclear as to what was actually in effect during that period you're talking about.
Okay. Were you aware that approximately 2000 era, there was a demand allocator factor for the NSP Plus plan that was a 36-month allocator? Were you aware of that at all in your research?
No.
If that were true, wouldn't that speak to the fact that commissions can change and adopt the demand allocation method?
I think it would depend on what context that was approved and how it was applied.
You state, I think in your opening statement you mentioned it too, that the 12CP method produces more stable results. Does that mean that the 1CP methodology is inherently unstable?
I'm speaking in relative terms. I don't want to characterize one as stable, one as unstable. If you compare the results of the two, what I can say unequivocally is that both on a conceptual and empirical basis, it appears that the 12CP method is more stable. And I put a page in my Schedule 2 to try to demonstrate that.
Why would 12CP predict peak load any more accurately than 1CP? The hour, I'm sorry.
I don't think it does, and that's not really necessarily the point of a cost allocation method. A cost allocation method is supposed to allocate or assign costs to jurisdictions based on the costs that they actually impose on the system, to the best you can identify it. And my point is the 12CP method best accounts, or better accounts, I should say, for the drivers of the company's cost than the 1CP method. And one of the basic premises of my testimony is you can't simply look at 1 hour and say, well, by definition, that's the drivers of the company's cost. That's the premise I reject.
But didn't you earlier say that that is one of the drivers of the cost, is meeting that? That's you. I believe you had said, and I apologize, I didn't write it down, that 12CP hopes to meet that peak demand, as does 1CP. Why is one any better than the other?
Well, if I said that, I misspoke. I don't think any one allocation method accomplishes that goal. What I was trying to suggest is that I understand the company looks at its peak load or peak loads that it expects during the course of the year to inform its planning. That's what I was agreeing to. But an allocation method doesn't in any sense drive the company's cost.
Just a second. I need to confer with my... Okay. I have a question about the projected test year. What are you using to base your 2013 loads on for the test year purposes?
The 12CP allocator is based on our projected monthly peak loads for NSP Minnesota, and then in this case for the jurisdiction of North Dakota.
So it's an estimate that you're using?
Yes, it is an estimate.
You mentioned that the 12CP method should be continued to be used because it provides for a total recovery of costs among the jurisdictions within the system. But if all the jurisdictions switch to 1CP, wouldn't that lead to a total recovery of costs?
Yes, the point is that if a consistent allocation method is used, then the utility will collect 100% of its prudently incurred cost. And that can occur no matter, at least to satisfy that goal alone, that can occur under a number of different allocation methods.
Apologize, got to log back into the iPad here to. On page 19 of your testimony, you stated that the 12CP method is the most commonly used method. Is that correct?
Can you give me a citation?
I guess it's put in a question and answer format. It says, is there any evidence, line 14 through 16, is there any evidence that the 12CP method is more commonly used across the country? And then your answer is in the affirmative.
Yes, in that particular citation, I'm simply quoting from the NARUC manual.
In your Exhibit 2, you show the monthly North Dakota system peaks. Are these showing high peaks or are these pretty level? What's your analysis of this data from month to month?
You're talking about the North Dakota?
Yes, I'm sorry, the North Dakota peaks.
Ryan, what exhibit are you on?
I'm in Exhibit 2. It's actually marked Schedule 2.
On their rebuttal testimony?
Yes. Mr. Brockett's rebuttal.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, your question to me is whether I detect any unusual pattern in them or?
Well, just the, is it very, are the peaks constant or do they vary greatly?
The peaks vary. In terms of greatly, I don't know whether they vary any more or less than someone would expect.
Looking at 2012, the actuals, this would be on page 1. What would you say the difference between the April system peak and the July system peak is?
Well, it looks roughly, I can't do the math too accurately in my head. It looks like the difference is about 150 megawatts.
I was referring to the actual system, the total on this one. I apologize.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're looking at the total CP for NSP in Minnesota.
Yes.
That difference looks like it's about 3,300 megawatts.
Just under 50% difference between April and July.
Well, let's see. Can I use my calculator?
Sure, that's fine.
All right, then. Oh, 49. Enter. coming up to about 41%.
What would the same ratio be for the North Dakota differential between July and April of 2012?
No, it's about 34%, but I'm using July as the base. It's the percentage April varies from July. If you do it the reverse, you'll come up with a different percentage. But
okay. Does the NARIC manual state that no single cost methodology would be superior to any other? I believe you've testified to this, as a matter of fact.
I don't recall a specific statement, but that's the tone of it, yes.
On page 6 of your testimony, lines 21 through 24, you state these methods are laid out here to reveal their flexibility. They can be seen as maps, and the road you take is the one that best suits you. Where does that quote come from?
I don't recall. It would take me a little bit to try to find it in the manual.
Okay. Earlier in that same question, you mentioned that I believe you're quoting from the NARIC manual.
I am, yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to find it now. It's on my version. It would be page 68. It would be the last sentence of chapter 4.
Do you know what basis upon a method would be revised according to the NARIC manual?
I would, to answer that question, I think you have to first of all understand the NARIC manual. What it really does is it lays out various options for commissions and stakeholders and regulatory proceedings to consider. It talks very generally and briefly about the conditions under which one might be preferred over another. But I wouldn't characterize the NARIC manual as giving very specific guidance as to what method is better. I think what the authors are saying is, look, you know, if we were going to have a manual like that, it'd be about 2,000 pages. But we'll just provide some general guidance and emphasize to the practitioners that these are the considerations that are important when developing the allocation methods.
I need to take a drink. But you would agree that peak demand methods are considered appropriate by the NARIC manual, is that correct?
Well, peak demand methods are certainly included in the NARIC manual as options. Again, I hesitate to use the word appropriate. I think the whole point of the manual is they're saying here are some options, you decide the extent to which one or more are appropriate based on the specific circumstances of your utilities.
Okay. Judge, can I ask for just a minute, please, off record?
Yes.
Thank you.
You may.
I apologize. Can we take a 5-minute break, Judge?
All right. We'll take 5 minutes.
Thank you.